Well, good morning, church. Every time we watch the Gasores talk about how God has worked through their family, and you get to see all those pictures, and I'm always amazed. But my favorite part of that video is the wave. And Dan, I just want you to know, next time you see me, I don't want the head nod, I don't want a little, I want the full-bodied wave, so that I know you're happy to see me, okay? So I every time I see that video, I think I could be working a lot harder at making people feel welcome when I see them than, hey, what's up? So I just, every time we see it, it's a reminder to me. What a blessing to be able to receive that song from our, what were we calling that? A multi-generational chorus, which is a fancy word for church, right? We're all supposed to be a part of the chorus, and we were, but I just looking at those faces and listening to those voices, this really is a special time of year. I want to spend just a moment before we look at Mary's song once more to remind everyone that just last week we announced that Avery is going to be transitioning from working as one of our student ministers to working at ACU, doing her best to deepen and just make small group chapels a more rich experience for the students there at ACU. We are thrilled that the Rosenhoffs will both be here as a part of our church family. We're also thrilled that Victor's going to be staying on as our student minister, and we just want to assure you we're already compiling names for the next student minister that we're going to have partnering with Victor. But I want to remind you this morning that Avery's picture is out in the lobby for you to sign. I believe we have a slide. Do we have a slide where you can? No? There's no slide? Okay. There was a slide at some point that Stephen made, and I feel bad that we lost it somewhere. But you don't need a slide. Just listen to me for a second, okay? So there's a picture on a table out in the lobby. There are also blank cards that you can write a little bit longer note on. Obviously, the mat around that picture doesn't have all of the real estate you might want. And so if you want to just take a few moments to write to her a note of what she has meant to you and means to you in her ministry and partnering with the Holy Spirit and working in our students' lives, we want to make sure that you take some time this morning to do that if you haven't already. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you so much for the time that we have to be together. We thank you for just the ways we were reminded this morning that this church family isn't just in this room, that it's not just the people who might be streaming online right now, but it goes all the way across the ocean to Rwanda. That we bring all of us a song in our hearts when we come to worship, and that we were reminded of that as we received that song from our chorus this morning. And God, as we open up your word once again as your people, we pray that through the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, each of us would hear exactly what we need to hear the most this morning as we continue to hold on to the spirit of Advent, the spirit of waiting for your arrival in our lives in new and unexpected ways. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the past couple weeks, we have talked about hope, and we've talked about peace. This morning, we've been centering our hearts on the joy of the Lord. And as you think about the idea of joy, I think it's challenging because it's like everything else in our lives that is life-changing, life-altering. Words fail to fully describe what it's like to experience joy. And it is, as Bradley talked about, it's a choice we can make, but it's not only a choice we can make. It's also something we feel. It's something we experience. And so, like love and hope and peace, it's both something we can reach out for, we can hold on to, but it's also something that breaks in to our lives when we need it the most. It's something that we don't have any control over at times. It's something that happens to us. And as we mentioned, we chose Margaret Ballou to light our joy candle because she dedicated her professional life to helping families expand, grow through adoption. And for my entire life, when people would talk about what it's like to have a new baby in their family, we talk about it as having a new bundle of joy. Now, if you've ever spent, I would say this, you can't just have a few hours with a baby. You have to try to make it through a night with a brand new baby to know that it's not only a bundle of joy, right, to have a new child in your life. It's a bundle of responsibilities. It's of finding a way to not just expand your family, but to expand your heart, to care about a new life more than you've ever cared about anything else before. And if you have more than one child in your family, there's a part of you that's a little nervous. After you have a first child, you're going to have a second child, and you think, am I going to love this new baby as much as I? Of course you are. Right? That you have this new sense of joy that as great as things have been up to that point, you didn't realize things could get even better. It's something we choose, but it's also something that happens to us. It's a gift that we need. And God always gives us what we need. When you think about just how you're doing this morning, I want you to be honest with what's going on in your heart, in your soul this morning. My guess is that there are people in this room who are already experiencing the joy of Christmas. And then there are others of us who just aren't feeling it. And what I don't want you to experience this morning as we focus on the story of Mary and her experience of joy that Jesus brings to her life, what I don't want anybody to feel is that you just have to kind of grit your teeth and make yourself feel joy right here, right now. That if you're not experiencing it, that's okay. I'm not really experiencing it this morning. But here's one thing I know, having gone through more Christmases than I can actually remember in detail, that at some point, joy is going to break in. That joy is going to find a way into my heart. And so if you're not experiencing it this morning, if there's things going on in your life that are making it difficult for you to feel joy, it may just be that you have a lot of stuff you still have to get ready and you have to accomplish and you have to get done before you can feel like you can settle into Christmas is just about to be here. But I want you to know that for everybody, right, we have experienced this before. We know what it's like to long for something, to want something to happen that's just not quite here. That's okay. Because there's always going to be stuff in your everyday life that threatens to steal your joy. You don't have any ability to shield your life from the things that make it hard for you to experience the joy of the Lord. It may be for your family that you're just dealing with something, a challenge that you've never faced before. You don't know exactly how you're going to get through it. You don't know exactly what your life's going to be on the other side. And so you come this morning with fear, with frustration, with doubt. You may see the people around you and the lights and all the Christmas movies and all the stuff going on, and you feel like it's you. You're just, for some reason, everybody else is experiencing that joy. It's just not happening for you. All of us know what that's like. All of us have been there before. All of us will be there again. All of us know that even if it's not happening yet, it's coming. It will happen. We just have to hold on. We have to hold on to the truth that while there will always be things in our everyday lives that threaten our joy, God will always have the power to restore it. One of my favorite statements in the first Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke, the angel speaking to Mary. And she can't understand how any of the stuff he's promising is going to happen, how it makes sense for it to happen. And he admits, it doesn't make any sense, Mary. We're talking about God here. And he says, with God, all things are possible. And the little baby boy who he's promising to Mary, he's going to grow up and become a leader and a teacher and a preacher. And at some point, he's going to say the same exact thing, right? When it doesn't make any sense, when people can't understand how it's possible, we are told, we are assured over and over throughout Scripture that with God, all things are possible. And so if you're not experiencing that joy today, I want you to hear the promise of God that you will. That you will. So Gabriel tells Mary, hey, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a son, and he's going to change everything. But you're not the only one who's having an impossible child. Elizabeth, you know Elizabeth, she's pregnant. Everybody thought she was never going to be able to have a baby, and it was something she wanted more than anything else. And that thing that she's held on to, that dream that she's held on to, it's finally happening for her. And so Mary understands that the only person who could begin to grasp what she's experiencing and going through is Elizabeth. Right? So she's got to go be with her. So she packs up her stuff and she goes and she spends some time with Elizabeth. And as soon as Mary gets close to Elizabeth, John, within Elizabeth's womb, jumps for joy. And Elizabeth knows why. It's because the child that she's bearing already somehow miraculously understands that the child Mary's bearing is going to change everything. And he's going to bring joy. And so Elizabeth tells her, hey, my baby just jumped for joy when you got close to me. And then Mary says, you know what? I'm experiencing joy myself. And then she starts to sing a song. And we read it together at the very beginning of worship today, but I want us to read these words again. I want us to listen to what Mary sings as she responds to the joy that's breaking into her life. She says, with all my heart, I glorify the Lord. In the depths of who I am, I feel joy, right? And she doesn't just feel it, she expresses it. I rejoice in God my Savior. He has looked with favor on the low status of his servant. Look, from now on, everyone will consider me highly favored because the Mighty One has done great things for me. Now, I've always found this to be interesting that Mary is currently, she's carrying a child, right? So all of it's in the future still. None of it has happened yet. But she is so confident of the promises of God that she speaks as if all the things that are going to happen through Jesus, they've already happened. Right? So I want you to listen to the tense, right? It's all going to be past tense. He has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He shows mercy to everyone from one generation to the next, to those who honor him as God. He has shown strength with his arm, right? So this is all, he has scattered. Right, he's already done these things. He hasn't done these things yet, but this is how confident she is. He has scattered those with arrogant thoughts and proud inclinations. He's pulled the powerful down from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty-handed. He's come to the aid of his servant Israel, remembering his mercy, right? His faithful, unconditional love, just as he promised to our ancestors, to Abraham, and to Abraham's descendants forever. She sings about her future son, as if he's already done all the things God has promised he will do. That's faith. And it's not faith that's based on evidence. It's faith that's based on a relationship with God, where when God says it's going to happen, you live as if it's already happening. It's the kind of faith that I want to experience in my life. And it is a faith that unlocks our experience of joy, not just in the future, but now. And it's not the fleeting feeling of happiness that sometimes, you know, we encounter here and there. It's a true and lasting joy. It's the kind of joy you are meant to experience. It's the kind of joy that God gives us and doesn't take it away. And it's based on what God does, not on what we do. Now, this is difficult because I think at times we expect to experience or feel happiness based on our own decisions and our own accomplishments and our own abilities, right? That we can do things just right and then we're finally going to find that happiness that we've been chasing throughout our lives. But the reality is if there's always going to be stuff that's threatening to steal our joy, and God's the one who can restore the joy, then doesn't it make sense that joy isn't built on what you do? It's based on what God does for you. Mary can't make any of the things happen that she's singing about. And the fact that she's pregnant, even that, isn't something she could have ever accomplished. Not the way God is accomplishing it in her soul, in her body, at that moment. It's a miracle. But Mary knows it's just the beginning of countless miracles to come. And she knows it because she knows God. I didn't say she knows it because she's figured God out. I'm not saying she knows it because she has been told every single detail of what life with Jesus is going to be like. I'm saying she knows it by heart, because she relationally knows God and is deeply known by God. She feels it. Can't explain it, so she sings about it. And she sings a song. Well, she's a prophet as she sings the song, because she talks about who her son's going to be and what he's going to do. And she's right. He's going to turn the world upside down. He's going to help the people who nobody else sees and cares about. He's going to help them know that God sees them, God cares about them, that they matter. And he's going to call all of us to question the people who are running things, the people who have all the power to kind of force their way in this world. And he's going to say to us, do you really think that's good life, that's true life? Because it's not. It's not found in your ability to force your way or call the shots or run things. True life is found in all of the gifts that God can pour into our lives. Gifts that we focus on, but we sometimes forget. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Why do you need strength? Because there's things that are threatening to steal your joy. There's things that are breaking you down. And yet God finds a way in Jesus to come to us and to make promises to us and then ask us, do those future promises bring you a sense of joy right now in this present moment? I don't want joy that comes and goes. I want joy that I can build my life on. And if I'm going to build my life on it, it's got to be something I receive. It can't be something that I construct. There's this joy that only Jesus can bring into your life. And you may already be experiencing it. It may be overflowing in your heart and in your soul, and it may be overflowing the boundaries of your life into the lives of other people. That's, after all, how it's supposed to work. But you may also feel like it's been too long since you've experienced the feeling of that joy. And the promise this morning, it has to be enough for us to keep reaching out, for us to keep holding on, for us to keep waiting in hope that even if I don't feel it, even if you don't feel it, it's coming. I have a word of advice for you this Advent season, during this this Christmas time of the year. And it's advice that you've probably heard before. It's advice that maybe someone else has said to you, maybe in just a little bit different words, but it's this. If you're struggling right now, if you're struggling to find joy in this season of your life, don't chase after joy. Chase after Jesus. Because he will make joy possible in your life when it isn't possible. When it doesn't make any sense, when somebody else might look at what's going on and say, I don't understand how you have the strength to keep going. I don't understand how you keep putting one foot in front of the other. I don't get it. And you're going to realize it's not because you chose to be strong. It's not just because you chose to hold on to a sense of joy. It's because this joy was building and it comes crashing into your life. And it changes everything, not that's happening to you. It changes your ability to face it. Mary, when she sings the song about who her son's going to be, she mentions all of these amazing ways that Jesus really is going to change everything for the better. But you and I know, looking back on that story and knowing more now than she could have known then, she won't only have joy in her heart because of Jesus. She's going to have her heart broken because of who he came to be and what he came to do. And somehow, she's going to treasure the things in her heart that bring her joy, and that's going to give her the ability to survive the things that threaten to steal it. I would love for Mary, when she accepts this life calling to be Jesus' mother, I would love if from that moment on, the only things that happened to her brought her joy. I would love if she didn't have to watch her son give his life for the sake of the world. I would love that she would just experience things like Easter morning without having to watch what happened on that Friday. But Easter reminds us, the joy that God can make possible, it's stronger than the darkest, hardest, most difficult things any of us ever have to go through. That our joy, it really can be a strength that is stronger than death itself. And you can't just decide to believe that, brothers and sisters. You have to experience it time after time so that you build your confidence. You build your sense of I can rely on this. I can trust this. When God says it's going to happen, it really is going to happen, even if it doesn't make sense to me. And even when I realize I can't make it happen, that there is a joy coming for you. If you're not experiencing it already, don't give up. Don't decide that you're always going to feel the way you feel right now. If your heart is breaking, if you're going through something that's tearing you apart, don't pretend like this is the best Christmas you've ever had. Don't force your sense of joy. I'm telling you, just hold on. Hold on to the promises of God. Hold on to the truth that no matter how dark, no matter how bad, no matter how difficult or challenging things are right now, Jesus is coming for you. Jesus will break in. Jesus will break through whatever it is that's scaring you or weighing you down. That the promises of God mean that when it feels impossible for our lives in the future to be better, that Jesus says they will be, and he always keeps his promises. Joy is coming. I promise you. We're going to sing together now, and as we do, our shepherds and their wives will be standing at these major exits, these three double doors. They're there to talk with you, to receive you, to support you. And so if you came this morning and something's stealing your joy, and you want to talk with a Christian couple about it, they want to talk with you and they want to support you. So whatever it is, if you want to know more about our church, anything at all, please go to them as together we stand and sing.